This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Glory be to the name of the Lord. So it's time for the Word of God. Right now, we're going to go into the Word of God. And I want to just thank God, for the Almighty God, for giving me the opportunity to share the word. Let's bow down our heads to pray. I want you to speak to the Almighty God this morning, that His word will profit you. His word will benefit you. That at the end of this sermon, your life will never be the same again, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for another day in your presence. We pray that you will breathe upon your word. Your word will profit the hearers in the name of Jesus. Your word will produce life in the mouth of the speaker in the name of Jesus. So shall it be. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Pastor started a series several weeks ago on Kinsman Redeemer. And we will be concluding that series today by the grace of God. We've taken the text from the book of Ruth. And the subtitle for today is going to be Love Story of the Redeemer. Love Story of the Redeemer. If you pay attention closely, you will understand that it has been the story of love from the beginning. But I want to just make some highlights of some of the things Pastor said. Chapter 1 of the book of Ruth, and in verse 1 right there, the Bible makes some profound statements and said, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab." I remember clearly, Pastor told us, Bethlehem signifies the house of bread. And it is amazing that someone would dare to leave the house of bread, the place of provision, for somewhere else. He walked away with his family from the place of provision to another place altogether. The Bible tells us of the story of the prodigal son, who walked away from the provision of his dad into a far country where he lived a riotous living. But the good news here is that the prodigal son realized that in his dad's house, there was so much for him that he can get. And he came back. The same is true of Naomi. When there was nothing where she left for, she came back to Bethlehem. By this word of God, I say today, anyone that has gone away from the households of God, we come back in the name of Jesus. Amen. Any son or daughter of yours who has walked away from faith, we also come back. Amen. To the house of God in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Naomi came back. And that is where we started seeing the love story we've been considering several weeks. She came back with the daughter-in-law. Praise the Lord. In chapter 4, which is our concluding text for today, verse 1, "Then went Boaz up to the gate." I can read from NLT for a change. NLT from verse 1. "Boaz went to the town gate and took a seat there. Just then the family redeemer he had mentioned came by. So Boaz called out to him, 'Come over here and sit down, friend. I want to talk to you.' So they sat down together. Then Boaz called 10 leaders or elders from the town and asked them to sit as witnesses. And Boaz said to the family redeemer, you know Naomi, who came back from Moab? She is selling the land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should speak to you about it, so that you can redeem it if you wish. If you want the land, then buy it here in the presence of these witnesses. But if you don't want it, let me know right away, because I am next in line to redeem it after you. We are talking about love story of the Redeemer. Now, you recall the story. There's been a relationship developing between Ruth and Boaz at the place of work. And this transaction has been going on. In chapter 3, you will recall, Pastor read to us, I think in verse 9 or so, where Boaz, when he discovered Ruth at his feet at night, said, I will do what is necessary. Pastor gave us elaborate information and education around that, and I think everybody was happy he did. Boaz found Ruth very close to her, to him, and he covered her and said, you know what? Nothing is going to happen here until we do the right thing. And so that transition into chapter 4, what he wanted to do. The Bible says he went to the gate. And it's so important for us to understand what is the significance of the gate that he went to. The gate back then is where the leaders, the elders, gathered to discuss important legal matters. Since they didn't have established court of law as we do today. So any important matters, the leaders, the elders sit at the gate to discuss it and finalize it. And they are the witnesses of any decision that is taken. It is legal, it is binding. So Boaz said, went there, the elders were there, the leaders, to witness that right thing he wanted to do. That's point number one. Point number two that we need to understand as we advance in the story today is that it was the law, the custom of that time, the culture of that time, that if a man dies and doesn't have a son to inherit the land, and he has the relative, the kinsman, the next one to him will marry the widow so it can produce a son who will inherit the land. And that was the same story that the Sadducees brought to Jesus. And they were asking him the question. He said, there's this man, died, didn't leave a son. Then the second brother took the wife, died, didn't leave a son, on and on until the seventh, and none of them produced a child. And they were erroneously asking the resurrection and the life, and said, at the resurrection, who is going to be the husband of this woman? So in other words, they were bringing to limelight that same culture that I'm just talking about now. So you recall, the husband of Ruth was late. She was a widow. And now the way God will divinely orchestrate a step, even to find the new lover of her life, the real lover of her life, is what we are considering today. Praise the Lord. So here we see that a kinsman, somebody who is very close to the late husband, will be the one to marry her. That's what we are trying to say in essence. But Boaz was not going to cut corners. He knew that there was somebody who was before him. He said, if I marry you now, and I buy the land that belongs to our relative Elimelech, without him being the person, the next king redeemer being the one, then I have done wrong. I have not done the right thing. And so we have to get it right. Praise the Lord. Brethren, that suggests to me, for as many of us who are contemplating on getting married, it doesn't matter what your status is, Whether you have ever been married, you are now a widow, or you have never been married, it's got to be done right. Praise the Lord. It's got to be done right. Amen. One of the things Pastor reminded us last time was, even though Boaz found a woman by his feet at night, he didn't go ahead to start towards kissing and doing pecking and doing all of those things. He said, no, we have to do this thing right. And Pastor did a good job, so I'm not going to go back and flog that. Number one, we were able to learn from there. For those who are in relationship, like Boaz and Ruth, who are never married, it is not a license to live together. Praise the Lord. That is not right. Somebody agree with me? That is not right. So if you will be living as husband and wife, do it rightly, like Boaz. As a matter of fact, the Redeemer we are talking about today is Boaz. He is a typology of Christ, as we will see in the story as it's unfolding. So we need to do it right. Praise the Lord. So we see here, Ruth the Moabites. And who are the Moabites? The Moabites were the enemies of Israel. And they were the ones that they were going to be destroyed, because if you read the book of Judges chapter 3, verses 28 to 29, Judges chapter 3, verse 28 to 29, God was going to punish them, to utterly destroy them, even for their sins against the children of Israel, which is equivalent to every one of us who have sinned. The Bible says, and we have come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 said, all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. By inheritance, Ruth was not part of the lineage of Israel. But you will see from the story that God orchestrated her step to fall in that lineage. Praise the Lord. For every one of us, whatever your status is, God has brought you by his divine providence into Bethlehem, the house of providence, where God has saved you, he has saved me, by the redeeming blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is where all of us came in. And that is the kind of love that Moabites, the root, got and find herself in the lineage of Judah. Praise the Lord. So we find here that number one, she's a Moabite. She was not a Jew. She did not belong to Israel, but she came to Israel. God used Naomi to bring Ruth, a Gentile, to the household of faith, to the place of bread. Naomi was a good mother-in-law, and she made good for Ruth and brought her there. And the same way God is using you and me to bring God to the households of faith in the name of Jesus. So she also introduced Ruth to Boaz. If you remember the story, she did the introduction. Ruth didn't know who Boaz was. She made her to start working for him. So, it's a kind of redeemer. That I said, Boaz is a kind of redeemer. That's why Psalm 107 verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he had redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Praise the Lord. What we will find here is this. In the process of time, Ruth found favor with Boaz in the field. You will see from time to time, Boaz will give some extra wheat to take home so that she and the mother-in-law will have something to live on. Very kind man. Was willing to help at all times. That is who Boaz was. And then we found out that she found favor. In fact, the Bible also tells us that when we come to the presence of Christ, we find favor with him. Praise the Lord. Psalm 102 verse 13 says, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. I say to someone here today, the time to favor you has come. Because you are in the house of God, God will favor you in the name of Jesus. Pastor said when he was leading us in prayer, he said, your feet has been touching this ground. And we kind of said the same thing on Tuesday during the Bible study. It's a confirmation that anywhere your feet will touch and you will tread upon will begin for you for your inheritance. You walk the walk of San Antonio, Texas, U.S. of A. And you begin by faith to release the world to the land. This land will favor me. You will be favored in the name of Jesus. God has spoken once. Twice I have heard that power belongs to God. He said every word that I say will never come back to me void. But it will accomplish the purpose. The purpose of God for you is to be favored. At your places of work, you will be favored. Amen. Just like Ruth, whatever, you will be favored. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So we see the favor of God upon Ruth, even in this love story. Praise the Lord. So we see that, again, Naomi, want to mention a brief thing about her before we continue in the story. Good mother-in-law. If it were not so, when all the calamities befell her in the land of Moab, the two daughters-in-law would not have said, we are going with you. That straightway suggests to us that she was a caring, good mother-in-law. And the story that followed with Ruth, every step of the way, she was guiding her what to do, where to find job, how to comport herself, how to dress, how to make herself presentable, how to make sure she doesn't have MOBO, right? I got it right. Yes, praise the Lord. So she taught her all of those things. Praise the Lord. That is a good mother-in-law. And I want to encourage some of us, if you do have a good mother-in-law, I want to encourage you to cherish them. I want to encourage you to pray for them. I want to encourage you to encourage them. Praise the Lord. Many of us have wrong perception about mother-in-laws, that mother-in-laws are not good. But especially in this land of America, if you are working and you want to raise kids, and you are blessed with mother-in-law, you are a blessed person. Let's put our hands together for mother-in-laws. We have good mother-in-laws in the house, and they have been helping us, and that is why the spirit of fruition, fruitfulness, is increasing. Praise the Lord. And Pastor said the season has come. In the name of Jesus, praise the Lord. We are in the season of again having all these children. Children are good. As you will see in the ending part of this story, because a child came of that relationship. Children, they are good. They are our future. The Bible says, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are we in the hands of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. Praise ye the Lord. So, we saw here that one of the things here is that Ruth and Boaz was going to do the right thing. Let's read further from our story. Now, he said in verse 4 to the next king's man, he said, our land that belongs to our relative is supposed to be sold. Naomi wasn't having money, so they needed to sell the piece of land to make money. And as you will remember, when the Lord brought them to the land of promise, all the land of promise was divided among the tribes, right? And each tribe, they have their own land portion, and it was divided among the families. And so, each family, from generation to generation, they pass on the land. And that is one of the reasons why they want to have a male child to continue to be the one custodian of the land for the family. That was the culture. So if Naomi would sell the land out to another tribe, that would have violated what God said that they should do, right? And that is why they were looking for someone who was going to redeem the land back. So if she would sell it out of the tribe of Judah, then the tribe of Judah would lose the piece of land. And so who was going to buy the land back to them? And that's the one they are looking for. But let's see what this kinsman says in the story that we are reading last year. So he said, the next kinsman who's supposed to redeem to buy the land back so that the land will not go to another tribe. He said, initially in verse 4, he said, the man replied, all right, I'll redeem it, verse 5. Then Boaz told him, of course, your purchase of the land from Naomi also required that you marry Ruth, the Moabite widow. That way she can have children who will carry on her husband's name and keep the land in the family. Then I can't redeem it, the family redeemer replied, because this might endanger my own estate. You redeem the land, I cannot do it. On Tuesday, we studied the difference between hireling and the good shepherd and the good redeemer. The redeemer of our soul is Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. This next man in line said, because of me and my estate, I cannot endanger that. I don't want to do it. You do it. You do it. Anytime me, mine, I takes over, it only robs us of the blessings of God to come into our lives. He said, I can't do it. You do it. At the end of the story, you will see how this next man in line missed out of the salvation story. He could have been the one to father the great-grandfather of our Lord Jesus Christ, but because of me and mine, he missed out. Praise the Lord. So, brethren, we need to learn to go out of our shells and to be willing to sacrifice for the sake of others. What will happen even if Ruth has another son that doesn't bear his name? That's a sacrifice. He was not willing to do so, and he missed out. Praise the Lord. He said, Boaz, you go ahead. I give you the permission to do that. Praise the Lord. So, we see here that we need to learn selfishness is not a good thing. It's not all about me. I have said it before. The reason why you are here today is because some people have sacrificed for you. Some people have labored in the place of prayer for you to be here. Your academic success, it has not been by your solo efforts. Somebody contributed to it. Praise the Lord. In fact, for you being America here, for those of you who emigrated here, somebody was responsible for inviting you or helping you to get here. It's your turn. The Bible says, who knows? Maybe it is because of this reason you are here at this time. And if you will not do it, God will raise help from somewhere. The word came unto Esther, for everything and everywhere you find yourself is for a purpose, that your life may be a blessing to somebody. Yes, the Bible says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good. The anointing upon your life is for somebody else. The grace of God upon your life is for somebody else. The talent God has given to you to write a book is to bless somebody near and far. Praise the Lord. The man was too full of himself, what he would get, and he missed out from the plan of God for his life. Praise the Lord. Let's continue our study. So, verse 9. Then Boaz said to the elders and the crowd standing around, you are witnesses that today I bought the land from Naomi and all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. And with the land, I have acquired Ruth, the Moabite widow of Mahlon. to be my wife. This way, she can have a son to carry on the family's name of her dead husband and to inherit the family property here in the hometown. You are all witnesses. And the elders and all the people standing in the gate reply, we are witnesses. May the Lord make this woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, from whom all the nations of Israel descended. May you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. And may the Lord give you descendants by this young woman who will be like those of our ancestor Perez, the son of Tamar and Judah. Praise the Lord. Boaz did the right thing. He said, I will do all that is necessary. I want you to remember that here, once the Boaz decided he was going to marry Ruth and he was going to buy the land back to the family of Elimelech, you could see what the response of the elders were. All the witnesses, they started doing what? Blessing him and the young woman. In fact, they pronounced blessings of God of Israel upon Moabite Ruth and said, may the blessings of Leah, may the blessings of Rachel come upon you. That was a great pronouncement. That was a great prayer and blessing. Brethren, this woman was not from the tribe of Israel. The blessing God had invoked upon Abraham, upon Isaac, upon Jacob, the elders, the leaders, they pronounced the same blessings upon her. May the blessing of Leah and Rachel be upon you. They went ahead to evoke Judah's experience into it. Brother, when we do the right thing, even in wedding, let me parallel it because we are talking about love story of redemption. When you do the right thing and you allow God to bless your marriage and you do it right, you lay the foundation right, you allow the man of God, the pastor, and the elders and the leaders to invoke the blessings of God upon your home, it will be well with that home. That's what we saw here. He did it publicly. There were witnesses. They all prayed their prayers and blessed that home. May that blessing come. Who was Leah? Who was Rachel? Those were the matriarchs of the 12 tribes of Israel that we have till today. And they said, as you are entering into this family, that blessing will come upon yours, upon you. You have come to the house of bread. You will have a half mother. That's what they are saying. You will be famous in Bethlehem. You will be famous. Somebody will be famous in this land. Amen. Whether you are first immigrant or no first immigrant, I say you will be famous in this land. Amen. Ruth was the first immigrant from Moabite in the land of Bethlehem. Till today, we are talking about Ruth. Praise the Lord. When you do the right thing, you get the right blessings. Praise the Lord. So, what happened? Verse 13. So, Boaz took Ruth into his home, and she became his wife. When he slept with her, the Lord enabled her to become pregnant, and she gave birth to a son. Then the woman of the town said to Naomi, praise the Lord, who has now provided a redeemer for your family. May this child be famous in Israel. May he restore your youth and care for you in your old age. For he is the son of your daughter-in-law who loves you and has been better to you more than 7 sons. Where I came from, I have an uncle. I came from a ruling house. The wife had 5 girls. He said he's looking for a boy. So he went to marry another one to look for a boy. But hear what the Bible says here. This single girl, Ruth, because of what people have seen in her character, her behavior, the way he was taking care of the older Naomi, people saw a virtue in her and said, this woman is better than seven sons. Even if you have had seven children, this one is better than them. I have three daughters. I know they are better than seven sons. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So, who makes human beings? You or God? Leave it into the hand of God. I was working in one of the nursing homes in New York, and there was a woman there that was dying, apparently, having so many medical conditions. It was expected that the children would rally around to come and, you know, do everything. There are some family who are so involved in the care of their loved one, they will fight you to make sure you do the best for them. This is contrary to these people. And as the story was unfolding, I got to know that this woman was really worthy. And these children, they are wishing for her to die so they can inherit the property. Who knows tomorrow? That son you think will be the one to take care of you in your old age may be the daughter God has given to you. Why don't you celebrate the one God has given to you? They said this daughter is better than seven sons. It is God who knows tomorrow. In fact, let me suggest to you, you better let God take care of your tomorrow. Not anybody. Your life is not in the hand of anybody. It's in the hand of God. Do you know what will happen to those children? Do you know the date of their appointment with God, with destiny? Do you know whether, like Jesus and John the Baptist, they will exit before their parents? You don't know what the assignment God has given to them. Let your life be secured in the hands of God. Praise the Lord. It's your Redeemer. He has redeemed us from the curse of the Lord. The Bible says, curse is he that is hung on the tree. That's Jesus Christ. That's what he did for you. And if he has redeemed you, he's able to take you through to the end. In the name of Jesus. Jesus said, when he was praying his last prayer, he said, Lord, everyone you have given to me, I have kept them, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. God has saved you, and he will keep you unto the uttermost. In the name of Jesus. Don't fret yourself about tomorrow, what tomorrow will bring. He says, suffice unto the day, the evil thereof. Every day has its own evils. But today you cling on Jesus. Tomorrow will take care of itself. God will take care of your tomorrow. In the name of Jesus. God took of the latter end of Naomi. And look at what the Bible says about Naomi. Naomi took the son, put the son in her breast. Again, this good woman came here. Good mother-in-law, taking care of the grandchild. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. So, I have the words for some people here today. God, see the way God directed the path of widow Ruth to Boaz. It was an orchestration by the Lord. It was the Lord who guided her step, even when she had the opportunity to have returned to Moab. In the Bible study today, we are talking about the heroes of faith. The Bible said, as many of those people who are heroes in Hebrews 11, many of them did not receive answer to their prayer request. Yet, they stood firm their ground. They believe God that they have a far better country that they are pursuing. And the Bible says, in fact, if they wanted to return to where they were coming from, they had every opportunity. Just like Ruth and Oprah. Oprah had opportunity and she went back. But Ruth said, your God will be my God. I don't have plan B. God is God. He said, if God is God, you serve him. And that's why Joshua said, I have made up my mind. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I've made up my mind. In my house, as long as you eat my food and you live in my house and I pay the rent, I pay everything, you are serving the Lord. You don't have option. Praise the Lord. You don't have no option. That's what Joshua said. As long as I am the one who is in charge, you must serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so we see here that it is God who directed the path of this woman. No matter what your background story is, the story of Ruth did not end in sorrow. Even though she was a young widow, that was not the end of her life. The Lord orchestrated a path. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. I have prayer points for you, the singles, who are still trusting God, who is going to be my future husband. Allow God to direct your path. God did not unfold everything for Ruth. When she made up her mind, she would serve the God of Israel. All she knew that there is something about Naomi and her God. But she made up her mind, I am serving this God. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Anywhere you go, I will go. I submit to you, if that is your faith, God will find you your own Boaz. Amen. There is somebody's Boaz who is waiting for her. If you make up your mind and say, God, I will serve you regardless, God will raise that Boaz from nowhere. And that Boaz will be there for you to redeem you, to grant you favor that you need. That Boaz may be at your place of work. You don't know who is the next one that will be the bridge to your next journey of destiny. That was what Boaz did in the life of Ruth. Who would have thought the Moabites that should have been destroyed by God we come into the lineage of our Savior, the Redeemer. We are talking about the kinsman Redeemer. The kinsman Redeemer in the book of Ruth is Boaz. It's a typology of Jesus Christ who came to redeem us and to reconcile us back to God. All of us are gone astray. The Bible says our sins, they are like our righteousness like a filthy rag before him. But it says God has put on him the iniquities of us all. And he died a shameful death at the cross of Calvary. Ruth found herself at the feet of Boaz the Redeemer. And Boaz covered her up. If you find yourself at the feet of Jesus Christ, he will cover you up. Amen. He said, even though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. That is who the Redeemer is. That is the one who has brought us back from the hands of the enemy and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. As many therefore that we receive him, he has given them power to become the children of God, to become the sons of God. That's what this love story is. Boaz loved Ruth. There's no doubt about it. He did everything in his power to redeem Ruth and to buy the land back. That's the same thing Jesus Christ did for us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is the beautiful story of love of the Redeemer. Praise the Lord. So we see here, for singles, there is a correct way to get to your end. And the Lord, I pray, will guide your path in Jesus' name. As we round up this story this morning, I want you to understand. The Bible says in that story we could understand how God, in his divine wisdom, engrafted Ruth into the lineage of Israel, Judah, precisely. God engrafted her into that family. That's the same way God has engrafted us into the family of God. Praise the Lord. God engrafted us. We who are nobody, in fact, today is March 24th. How many more days to the end of the month? 7 days. In this house, A prophetic word has been going on since the beginning of this month. Romans 10:12. He said, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord, overall, is rich unto all who call upon him. I challenge those who are here on Tuesday that if you have 7 days and you don't know this problem, it's a prophetic word. You are nobody. You are an enemy of God, and God has brought you to come into his family to become the heirs of salvation, even with Jesus Christ. He said, no difference. So the word of God is coming to somebody here today. Maybe you have stepped out of faith like Naomi. You left the house of bread, and you went somewhere doing your own thing, and it's not working. God is saying, come back home. This is the house of bread. God is saying that I have made all provision for you. The prodigal sons, I will go back to my father because he will receive me in his arms. Maybe you are living your life in a way that is not in consonant with the Redeemer. Jesus Christ is saying, come back home. This is Bethlehem. This is the house of providence in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm going to ask us to stand on our feet as we are going to pray. Have you found your Boaz? Where is your Boaz? Are you in Boaz's family? In the family of God? Are you born again? Or you are just playing church? Ruth's success. If you will read the end of the chapter, the Bible says this is what happened. Boaz became the father of who? Obed. Obed became the father of Jesse. And Jesse became the father of David. David is the grandfather of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has a great plan for you, brethren. The love of God for you cannot be quenched by any water. And God wants you to just release yourself to the Redeemer, the lover of your soul. As we bow down our heads and we begin to pray, I ask you the question today. Are you Boaz? Are you sacrificing for the cause of the gospel for other people? Are you looking for your own Boaz? Have you found that Redeemer, the kinsman Redeemer, the one who is ready for you, whom God had prepared for you? I want you to talk to the Almighty God this morning. Whatsoever way God has spoken to you, I believe God spoke to every one of us. I want you to acknowledge and thank him for that in the name of Jesus. And maybe you are here, you are like Ruth, you are not yet in the family of God, and you want to say, today, I want to be the family of God, in particular, the family of God in this house. I want you to wave your hand and just lift up your hand. I will pray with you wherever you are. And say, I want to be family of God here, like Ruth took a decision that changed her life forever. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Or maybe you stepped away like Naomi, and your life, you know, is not corresponding to the faith in Christ. You are backsliding. Naomi came back. What a true love of redemption. You also want me to say a word of agreement with you as you reconcile with your Maker, your Redeemer. I want you to wave your hands to God and say, Lord, I come back home. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Or maybe you are here also. You don't know where is your Boaz. Where is the bone of my bone? The grace of God is available for you if you will only allow him to guide and direct you. Father, we are grateful to you for this awesome love. For this crazy love that you have for us. That when we were nobody, in fact, when we were enemies of Christ, Christ died for us. We thank you for saving our souls. Father, we thank you for redeeming us from the curse of the law. You saw us walking into hell and you snatched us back. Father, we return all the glory to you. Lord, the word you have spoken for today, Holy Spirit, I pray that you will expand it in the heart of your people. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. If you are blessed by the Lord, put your hands together for Jesus.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.